Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Welcome to the Triple Option Podcast, and three of your finest young men covering high school football in Eastern Iowa. I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette, joined by Jeff Linder and Jeff Johnson, giving a little peace sign. How are you fellas doing this afternoon?
Fantastic.
Between week four and week five.
Yeah, I'm feeling ignorant about my computer, but let's talk about something. Okay, I don't know anything about football either, but that's all right. You guys talk. I'll just listen.
Hey, you know, we're all over 50 now. We're on the backside of technology, so you got to give us a little break, you know? I mean, we're not asking how to set the clock on our VCRs anymore, but still. Well, hey, let's jump into high school football action. Week four is behind us. Looking ahead to week five, we'll do all that. Look at some of the scores from last Friday. Look ahead to the matchups this week. I got a little special gift for you, a little Who's Got More. We haven't done that this year, so we'll jump into that. We'll also maybe touch on maybe a couple questions from our four down segment that you can find at thegazette.com, as well as the rankings that Jeff Linder tabulated for us again this week. All that at thegazette.com, and all our high school football content you can find there. But first of all, hey, I want to ask you guys something, and this is kind of a personal question.
Okay.
How did your guys' love for sports develop? What was the catalyst for you guys thinking this is something that you had a passion for and that you wanted that to be a career choice?
Love for sports or wanting to be a sports writer? Or both?
Either one or both.
JJ, you want to go first? You're the oldest. You've been doing it longer.
There's a jab in there.
I always loved sports, and I was that weird kid that would watch games on TV, and I'd always keep statistics. Didn't matter what it was, basketball, football, whatever. And I loved reading the Gazette, because back when I was a kid, you know, when everybody was driving around in, you know, horse and buggies, right? It was an afternoon paper. So I get home from school, and that would be like one of the first things I would do would be read the paper. And then, you know, it turned into a morning paper. And that was part of my ritual before going to school, was to, you know, sit at the dining room table, eat my Apple Jacks, a piece of toast, and read the Gazette. And, you know, so that's kind of where it started. And I don't know where, you know, the desire to be a sports writer was, but I think that's probably where it kind of started, was, you know, this is kind of cool what these guys do. And, you know, I'm sure now in this day and age, nobody thinks it's cool, but that's kind of my story. Jeff?
Really, really similar to yours. You know, my dad was a coach for many years, so grew up going to the gym and watching ball games or riding on the school bus to track meets with his teams. And that was a lot of fun. And, always kind of, you know, like you said, JJ, I was kind of into numbers, you know, the statistics part of the deal. And when we were in sixth grade, our class had a little class newspaper, and that was kind of fun. And, you know, I guess it is, was really always the only thing I wanted to do growing up. And we were a Gazette family. You know, I remember when it was an afternoon paper too. I think it was a morning paper on the weekends, right? It was morning paper on Saturday and Sunday. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Even when it was an afternoon paper.
Right.
That sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was a carrier for a while too. And that seems that I got up so early on Saturdays and Sundays to do it.
Yeah. So, you know, it was always fun on Saturday morning to see all the scores of the other teams in our conference or Eastern Iowa. And I, you know, I enjoyed a lot of the writers and all that. And, you know, that's kind of where I am, where I was, and went to college for it. And, you know, three smaller papers later after, before coming here, and here we are a few years later. How about you, KJ?
Bilgey?
Throw it back to you.
I learned to read when I was 22 and thought it was pretty cool. So I just stuck with it. No, actually the funny thing is, I was originally an education major when I went to Buena Vista. And I had an RA who was part of the mass communication curriculum. His name was Brad Haugen, who they would broadcast Buena Vista's home football games on the campus TV station that also went out to Storm Lake, like Shaler, Creslin, some of those area towns as well. And he was like, man, we need one more person. Are you doing anything? And it's like, well, I was planning on getting drunk and watching the game, you know, like everybody else. He goes, hey, would you possibly run a cable for us? He wanted me to be a gaffer. So I actually was a gaffer for the field cam cable. I can't even remember who BB was playing that day. But about the third quarter, the field camera guy was like, hey, do you want to shoot for this quarter? And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, they'll tell you. And I did it and kind of fell in love with that aspect. Actually focused on, I changed my major to mass comm, and they didn't have a journalism curriculum. So it was mass comm. So you got thrown into all the electronic media, print media, everything. And it was just something that I kind of fell in love with after that. And the funny thing is, I give Brad Haugen crap for this every time I see him. He changed his major to become an education professional. And he suckered me into this business and then left. So that's where it is. You know, started doing scores and more. As you guys know, the old Agate mm-hmm. page, and then graciously enough, J.R. Ogden and Dale Jones kept giving me little smaller things to do, and then now I'm doing a podcast with you guys. So that's how it kind of evolved over the years.
The universe was different, you know, if you'd taken a different fork in the road, both of you guys, what would you be doing? Now,
teacher, coach.
Yeah,
that's what I would like to think. I'd probably be maybe flipping flapjacks at the nearby Greasy Spoon, but you know, yeah, it's weird how things work out like that. So, but anyway, let's get into week four results. Two that really kind of stand out, since we've talked about this before, whether or not Eastern Iowa can catch up with Central Iowa. Two of Eastern Iowa's top 5A teams faced Central Iowa foes, and both worked out for Central Iowa. JJ, you were at Waukee Northwest, our number one ranked team, at Cedar Rapids Prairie, and Waukee Northwest comes out on top of that one.
Yeah, 45-10, and without question, the best team I've seen. And obviously, you know, we haven't seen like Dowling or Valley, and I assume they're great as usual, and Ankeny and teams like that. But I mean, this was, I don't want to use men against boys because that's a bad analogy, but I mean, Northwest was just really, really good. They're really good on the offensive side of the football with, you know, Matt Keitlin at quarterback who started last year as a sophomore, and he's got a lot of targets on the outside that are playmakers. And Isaiah Oliver, Dean's boy that played basketball at Iowa, was one of them. And he had like a one-handed catch like this of a 40-yard bomb downfield on the first possession for a touchdown. You know, wow. It's like, okay, this is how this is going to go. And I mean, they're so good that, and the offensive line is huge for them. And they're so good that their top running back and one of the captains on their team has missed the last two games because of injury. And they throw a sophomore kid in there who started on one of the sub varsity teams and got promoted because of this injury. Kid runs for 200 last week, 200 yards, you know, you know, and it just, I know Prairie didn't play its best. And, you know, Kyle Knock, the coach, said, you know, after the game, don't give up on us. We won't. There's no doubt. There's a lot of talent there. But, just a dominating performance from Northwest. And that was just one of one of two games, right, Pilchy, that you mentioned that didn't go Eastern Iowa's way in 5A last week.
Right, and you mentioned Matt Hyland. He's leading 5A with 12 passing touchdowns, six of those to Jordan Green, who's leading the class in receiving touchdowns. You know, you mentioned that them being running backs and still produce the way that they did. That's going to come. They're pretty salty. Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not 100% sure about the defense. I mean, it played pretty well. Really pestered Prairie quarterback Kale Kongshog with a rush, which was impressive. But Prairie still had some like chunk plays and things like that. We're able to move the football, but Prairie just made too many mistakes, you know, dumb stuff like false starts and you know, things like that. You're just not going to beat a high caliber team when you make those mistakes. And I'm sure the Hawks will regroup. This is when it kind of starts for everybody now, right? District play starts for the 5A schools this week, and you just want to get yourself in the big dance, to use that cliche. And then, you know, anything I think can happen after that. So.
Yeah, and just one last thing. Highland has surpassed 1,000 yards passing already. He's at 1,004. And watching the rest, 5.6 yards a carry for their whole team, which, you know, maybe not surprising if you have a back or two that surpassed 5 yards, but when your whole team is up over 5.5 yards per carry, that's pretty impressive. The other game,
and just to piggyback off you, KJ, they're doing it against good teams. I mean, Prairie's got a good defense, and they've played Valley, they've played Ankeny, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, three of those four teams they played are certainly quality teams.
Exactly.
No, and we'll throw the local angle in there too is Corey Kopatich is our head coach, who is the son of Tom Kopatich, who is the head coach at Cedar Rapids LaSalle for a number of years. So everything kind of comes full circle, right? That way it seems like. Right.
Yeah. Kind of interesting connection there. Small world with, you know, I guess you would call Kopatich kind of a West Side football legend, and them facing one of the West Side teams in Prairie last week. The other top-ranked or highly-ranked matchup between Eastern Iowa, Central Iowa, number two Iowa City Liberty went to number eight Johnston, and the Dragons came away with a 27-24 win over the Lightning, first loss for Liberty. Just looking at some of the stats, Emory Jones for Johnston rushed for over 100 yards and a score. Trevor Helming passed for two touchdowns, including one to Jones. Johnston able to kind of contain Reese Redding a little bit, at least throwing the ball. Still got 174 yards, but no touchdown passes and two interceptions, which is kind of uncharacteristic there. Redding still did a lot of damage on the ground, 133 yards with three TDs. But knew that one would be a tough contest, would be a close one. You know, your guys' thoughts on Johnston handing Liberty its first loss of the season?
Surprised, not, you know, not through the roof shocked, you know, especially over there. If it was over at North Liberty, it might have been a different game. But, you know, the cream has kind of risen in Central Iowa again. You look at our rankings this week, top five, Northwest, Valley, Dowling, Ankeny, and Johnston. So, you know, here we are again.
And I, you know, I don't know yet offensively. I haven't seen Liberty. But, you know, we talked at the beginning of season, all the great wide receivers that Reese Redding had to throw to last year, that it might take a while for that offense to really, you know, really hit its stride. And I don't know necessarily it has. You look at, I mean, Reese's numbers last season were just unreal, right? No interceptions or maybe one or two or whatever it was, and a boatload of touchdowns. And this season so far, it's 8-8 touchdowns and interceptions. And that, to me, that you maybe that's a sign that there's not 100% chemistry and that the offense maybe isn't working on all cylinders yet. And who knows? I mean, a big game Friday night, or right? You know, West and Liberty, kids are kids. Maybe there's a little looking ahead. As a coach, you do everything to avoid that. But I'm just theorizing that maybe that might have played a small part in it too. And, you know, saying that, Johnston's really good. So there you go.
Yeah. You talk about West and Liberty. That's a big game this week in 5A. And I think we're going to finally find out how good Sioux City East is this week. They go to Ankeny. And, you know, if they can go to Central Iowa and, you know, either win or hang, you know, stay within a couple touchdowns, or I think then we'll maybe say East is legit. We'll see. I don't know. I just don't know how that'll turn out.
Yeah. Jeff, you and I think talked about that a little bit last week too, is I'm on the fence with that team just because of the schedule and things, but yeah, you're right. 100%. If they show out this week and pick up a win or play Ankeny, you know, in a very close game or whatever, then I'll start being a believer in East, no doubt.
Speaking of Iowa City West, they improved to 4-0 last week with a pretty notable win over Bettendorf, 31-14. Trojans went to the air. Reese Wheeler threw for 295 yards and two touchdowns. Ethan Headings, 129 yards on five catches. Julian Manson, standout for West, 110 yards on five catches and two touchdowns. Big showing for West. When you talk a little bit about kind of proving yourself a little bit, is this obviously this upcoming week is a big one with Liberty, but the win over Bettendorf, does that kind of maybe improve the stock a little bit for West?
I think their stock has gone up a lot the last 2 weeks. You know, they beat PV the week before that, 42-30. PV still a very good program. They handled City High in the opener. They hammered Dubuque Hampstead. I would say that West has surpassed my expectations. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I was able to watch that first game, the Battle of the Boot, and it's a very good team offensively. You know, it has a good line led by Colin Witters. We all know he's going to University of Iowa. He's a guard. And then, you know, they kind of rotated quarterbacks in the first game, and it looks like, you know, kind of Reese Wheeler is taking over as the main guy, especially passing. And there's a lot of explosiveness there on the outside. Great athletes. You know, Ethan, you look at the stats, Ethan Hennings has 20 catches, he's averaging 27 and a half yards per reception. Juju Manson's got 10 catches, averaging 15.8. You know, it just goes up and down the line, and then they can run the ball as well. And defensively, I think they've been pretty solid, you know, so far this season too. Just a lot of athletes on that team and some high, you know, high caliber athletes. It's made West, you know, 4-0 to start the season. So yeah, we'll see. Huge game against Liberty on Friday. Yeah. That should be a lot of fun.
And if they can get by Liberty, they're very likely to be undefeated going into week 8 against Prairie. And if they can win that, they're almost certain to go 9-0.
I'm looking at the schedule here. Muscatine, Downport Central, they'll be heavy, heavy favorites in both of those. Then, as you mentioned, then the game at Prairie in week 8, and then Lemoore to close it out at home. So, it's weird. I thought Prairie was the best hope from this side in 5A, but, you know, I've kind of changed my tune, and with the right to change it again after this week's results, right?
let's take a couple other scores, especially in the Metro. Cedar Rapids Kennedy outlast Lindmar 28-16. Cougars score 21 points in the second half to take control there. Tough start for the Lions, 0-4. Kennedy pulls to 2-2. They had a nice game from Demarion Orr, who surpassed 100 yards rushing, coming in at 105 with a touchdown. Kind of a silver lining for Lindmar, Derek Rowling, sophomore quarterback, passed for 245 yards and two TDs there. Your take on what that win means for Kennedy and the start for Lindmar.
I've seen Kennedy a couple times. They were missing some kids, or being one of them, the first couple games of the season, for particular reasons. I guess it wasn't a suspension or anything, but he wasn't playing. And then they had a couple other guys that are important parts of their team. So, I mean, they needed this one, right? The Cougars, that's a team that, again, has made a ton of mistakes penalty wise and things like that, especially the two games that I saw. And it was driving, you know, Coach Brian White, you know, kind of up a wall a little bit with that. And that was something that he said they absolutely have to get better at that. So any win's a good win, especially against a rival. You know, we all know Lindmar's struggling, and we knew it kind of might be a rebuilding year with all the great seniors that it had last year, and a new coaching staff and all that kind of stuff. So much needed win for Kennedy, and you know, Lindmar's, that was representative, right? I mean, they were in the game, so
yeah, they're up at halftime. Weren't they?
Yes,
yeah, exactly. So there you go. Hopefully win is right around the corner for the Lions.
Yeah. They've got Davenport Central this week, Thursday. There you go. It's a Thursday night game. So, yeah, I think that'll happen this week.
Some of the other, scores, Cedar Falls, beat Iowa City High 40-21. Urbandale took control late in the game against Cedar Rapids Jefferson to come away with a victory there. Cedar Rapids Xavier stays unbeaten, headed to Winter, in the win down there. Saints, winning 45-14, top of Class 4A with Pella right behind them. Boy, did you take a little time warp back to 2017 or those two teams leading the way in 4A?
But yeah, I'd say I'd say those two are probably the have established themselves as the cream of the crop in 4A, and might be on a collision course to be playing in the dome, whether it's in the semis or in the championship game here in November.
You know, Pilch, I just mentioned Williamsburg for a second. I don't know how Thanksgiving meal's going to go at the Ritchie house, but Austin Blythe steps into that situation, right, for his father-in-law, who left him a schedule that is, I mean, it's got to be the toughest schedule in the state, regardless of class, right? Benton Community was a scrimmage, right? And then you had Solon, PCM, Xavier, Des Moines Christian this coming week, Nevada 2 weeks from then, Winterset after that. So, and, you know, of course, the state makes the district pairings and everything, but, you know, Williamsburg, you look at the record, what, 1-3? But, I mean, it's been a brutal, brutal schedule so far for the Raiders.
Yep. And, hey, just a shout-out to Kurt Ritchie, since you mentioned him. They got their first win at Cornell over Lawrence this last week. So they get in the W column there at Ash Park with that road victory. So, what other Metro Iowa City score to share in the big schools? Marion goes to Mason City and falls 29-6. Iowa City Regina actually in 1A came away with a victory this last week as well. But let's move down to the Williamsburg class, the 3A class, and one of the marquee games, I think, Linder, you were at Solon and Benton. You know, that one came down to maybe a missed opportunity late or just Solon being able to capitalize and come away with a win.
Well, a little bit of both. Solon had five takeaways, and, you know, Benton won the yardage battle, but Solon won the turnover battle, and thus Solon won the game 28-21. Weird way to get to 28 points with three field goals and a missed extra point. But, I was talking to Milliman, Cody Milliman. He had a trifecta. He had a forced fumble, a recovered fumble, and an interception.
Wow.
So as part of that that five takeaways. And he said they work on ball security for 15 minutes a day in practice and work on basically stripping the ball for 15 minutes a day in practice. So it sure looked like that. That's practice was making perfect on Friday night.
Boy, and that's something too. Turnovers can make a huge difference, especially at the high school level. If you can get them, if you can prevent them. And it sounds like someone's really using that to their advantage. And I'm sure coaches are thrilled when they see the stuff that they're working on, because sometimes it doesn't transfer or translate. You can work on something until your body's sore, but you see the actual execution and the results in games. I mean, that's got to make Lucas Stanton ecstatic. To see that playing out for Solon.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great win for them. You know, they've had a challenging schedule too, and they've passed everything in their way so far. And now they go into district play where I think things are going to ease up a lot.
So speaking of 3A, I happen to go to Manchester to see West Delaware take on number 5 Dubuque Waller. This was a game, I think, maybe kind of a statement game a little bit for West Delaware. You know, they came in 3-0, three dominant wins, but not necessarily the toughest slate of teams in their path to get to week 4. But they took care of business. Waller, we know, you know, they're coming off a state title. They had a pretty tough schedule with a win over Western Dubuque. They handled Anamosa pretty well And then they lost to Tuffy in overtime to a highly ranked 4A team in Decorah. So this was a proving moment for West Delaware. And boy, they passed. I was really impressed with just the hard-nosed effort. They came away with a 27-20 win, pretty much led the whole way. But Wallert came back late, last 4 minutes. They score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion to pull within, I believe it was 21-20. And then West Delaware scores a big touchdown, big run. They cover 95 yards on three plays, 20-plus yard run from McCoy Rowling to start the drive, and then Austin Schneiders, who has put together a pretty good season for them, taking over for Brent Yakovic at the quarterback position his first year pretty much as a starter. He broke a 67-yard touchdown run to put him up 27-20. Wallert drives all the way down to the 5. They've got first and goal from the 7, actually. Completed 2-yard pass, and then 3 incompletions on a stand from West Delaware sealed the win for the Hawks. We mentioned Schneiders and the performance that he's had. Coach Ryan King said, you know, he was hurt as a freshman, didn't really get any reps that year. Last year was behind Yankovic, and, of course, he stepped in and now guided them to a 4-0 record. They run the ball really well with him, Rowling, and Jack Cantwell, and that played off. They had over 300 yards rushing against Wallert. So there are some big games coming here next week. They go to Iowa Falls Alden, which is a game that they should win. And then they've got Independence. So I think this was a good win that really kind of proves their worth a little bit. Hayden Wallert, their second loss. But another fun 3A game there, and we'll see how that continues for the Hawks.
You talk about Independence coming up. That's got to be the toughest district in the state in 3A, doesn't it? You've got Indy, you've got West Delaware, you've got Clear Lake, you've got Benton. Charles City's 3-1.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. I think you nail it right on the head. You know, Independence looking tough. Obviously, you know that they host Clear Lake in probably the game of the week, at least in 3A. Is it number one or is it number 7?
Indy's up to 5 this week.
Up to 5 this week, okay. So, yeah, premier game this week. But, yeah, I think you know that on the head is going to be considered the toughest with what the teams have done thus far.
I know geographically, you know, you got to put teams in districts, right? Geographically is the big thing. But, man, why do you throw Clear Lake in there in that, in that district? Seriously, you know? That one didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I think the thing is, there's going to be somebody that's pretty good that might not make the playoffs, you know, because of it. But so be it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just going to – or go ahead, Lindy.
No, I'd have to look at the map. But, yeah, it's – yeah, Clear Lake's a long ways away from the others. But I guess, like I said, I'd have to take a look at the map and see what the other options would be.
I'm just going to roll through our ranked matchups from last week, or matchups of note from last week really quick, and we can move on here. Cowling beat Southeast Polk 45-14. In Class 3A, we mentioned Decorah and their win over Waller, but Western Dubuque, boy, they might be starting to put things together here. They win 35-17 at Decorah. Big win there for the Bobcats. Also in Class 4A, number 6, Sergeant Bluff Luton, 14-10 over number 10, Glenwood. We mentioned Clear Lake, who heads to Independence this week. They improved to 4-0 with a 21-14 win over number 6, Nevada. In Class 2A, Carroll Kemper stays hot. They beat number 8, OABCIG, Ida Grove, 43-22. PCM Monroe with a big win over Pella Christian, 58-27. Osage stays unbeaten, beating North Fayette Valley, 26-7. Van Meter with a ranked win over number 6, Woodward Granger. The number 4 Bulldogs doubled them up, 40-20. In Class 1A, Truro I-35 upsets Pleasantville 19-7. That was the first loss, I believe, for the Trojans. Ridgeview with a 23-14 win over number 7 Hinton. Lawton Bronson, go Eagles. 26-23 win over MVAOCOU.
OMG.
OMG. OMG on that one. We mentioned some of the area teams, but in Class A, North Lynn, 54-7 over Columbus Community. So they're 4-0, as well as Wapsie Valley hitting Midland its first loss, 54-6. The Maquoketa Valley defensive battle against East Marshall, 10-3 win for the Wildcats. And Maquoketa Valley's got a big game this week as well.
They got Wapsie this week, don't they?
Yeah, ranked battle at Delhi between number 8 and number 10. And then in 8-player Edgewood Colesburg remains unbeaten. They beat Turkey Valley 46-22. Iowa Valley improves to 5-0. They beat HLV Tri-Center 70-12. And JJ, you also put something together in our prep rewind on Elkader Central. They won at Lansing Key and are unbeaten here through week 4.
Yeah, that's a nice little story up there. 4-0 play, I think, a really tricky, tough game against Springville this week. And Springville, you talk about gauntlet schedules, certainly has had one in 8-player, without a doubt. I think picked up the first win of the season last week, Jeff. Is that if I remember correctly?
Yeah, they're 0-4, and they got Cal Wheat last week, and now they got Elkader Central this week. And yeah, 0-4. I mean, those four teams, Iowa Valley, Montezuma, Edco, Easton Valley, 8-12, 16-1 between them.
You know, Central didn't have a varsity team in 22, played JV only. And that was ironically the first year that now head coach J.W. Downs came to the school. He's the Maquoketa Valley grad. Started as a middle school coach up there, and this is his second season as head coach. He's done a really nice job. Their game got a lot of weather last week at Lansing Key, and the game didn't get over till I think he said 11:30. Mm-hmm. And they didn't roll into Central High School in Elkader till about 1:30, you know, Saturday morning. But they've done a nice job. You know, he's really instilled, I think, a really good culture there. And, you know, 4-0 is 4-0, right? And I think this is the first 4-win season for them since, I want to say, maybe 2014 or 2015. So, you like the feel-good stories, right? And I think Central is kind of one of those.
Yeah.
So I want to break up before you take a quick look at the upcoming games here this week. I've got our first edition of Who's Got More. You guys ready for this?
Let's go.
It's probably not as creative as we've gotten in the past, but still it should be pretty fun. All right. So your first Who's Got More question. Who has the most offensive yards between Bo Burns of BGM, Chris Meyer of Independence, and Nolan Kriegel of Iowa Valley? Most offensive yards.
Well, Nolan Kriegel's got an extra game.
But he doesn't pass.
Yeah. I'll go with Burns.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Okay. Chris Meyer from Indy has 1,477 yards through four games. Nolan Kriegel has 1,509 through five games, as Linder mentioned. They played week zero at Springville when was it Lone Tree that did not field a team. So that's where the extra game came in so far. And then Bo Burns of BGM with 1,659 offensive yards. You guys are correct.
That's so one.
One. You're on the board. Okay. Who has more tackles for loss? More tackles for loss. Egan Fletchman of Albernett, Jackson Anderson of Mount Vernon, or David Fazan of Cedar Rapids Prairie? More tackles for loss.
I guess it's my turn to go first here, huh?
Yeah.
The last I checked, because Faison just committed to Iowa, he was leading 5A in tackles for loss with, like, I want to say 15. So I'm going to go with him. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'll go with the Albernett kid.
Okay. Jackson Anderson of Mount Vernon has 9.5. Fazan from Prairie has 13. And Egan Fleshman of Albernett with 14.
Linder, you always rule at this game.
No. So, I just guessed.
2-0. And Fleshman, part of that really tough offensive defensive line that Albernett has this year to go along with Caves and some other skill players. All right, more passing yards, not most, more. Is it Mick Hoffman of Cascade, Keenan Pals from East Buck, or Eli Campman of Solon?
Lindy, you're up first.
And I know it sounds really weird that we're including East Buck
East in a Buck, passing I know. Spot,
but
they're just chucking it all over the place. I'm going to go that direction.
You're going with Keenan Pals of East
sure.
Buck, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Who is the first young man, Pilchy?
Mick Hoffman of Cascade, and the third one was Eli Campman of Solon.
Okay. I know it's weird that there's a Hoffman in Cascade, but I'm going with him.
All right. So Mick Hoffman of Cascade has 995 passing yards. Keenan Pals of East Buck has 950 yards. Eli Campman of Solon, 884. So it's Mick Hoffman of Cascade.
Let's go.
Throwing passes and fastballs. I wonder if he's got a little hook to go with that pass, knowing the Cascade folks up there, baseball country, right? All right. So I think you're both at 2-1, right?
Yeah, we are.
All right. So we're tied with two more to go. Who is averaging more points a game? Mm-hmm. Which team is? Independence, Clear Creek, or Iowa City Regina? More total points per game.
I'm going Regina.
Yeah, I am too. I know they had 59 1 week, and we've had a couple other biggies. I'll go Regina as well.
All right. Clear Creek Amana averages 41.3 points per game so far. Indy, 43.5 points per game. Regina, 46 even so far. Going into their game against Durant this week, right?
Yep.
And one other side note I just kind of want to mention here as far as points per game. Right now, there are 25 teams that are averaging more than 4 points per game through week four. Last year, there was 12 teams that averaged over 40 points at the end of the season.
Good knowledge. Dropping some knowledge on us.
Do you think that's a sign that things are tilting towards the offensive part of the ball, or not so much?
Maybe because we've had some good weather so far.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right, last one here. You guys tied at three apiece. Which is more? East Buck fumble return yards.
Oh, boy.
North Tama receptions, or the longest TD run for West Delaware?
Can you give me those again?
East Buchanan fumble return yardage.
Okay.
North Tama receptions, team receptions, and longest TD run by West Delaware.
I'm going East Buck because I don't think you'd throw him in there twice without having one of them be the right answer. So there we go. Sound logic, right?
Boy,
total happenstance.
I'll go C.
You're going with the longest TD run?
Sure.
All right. Well, since neither one of you picked North Tama, I'll let you know that one first. They have 90 receptions so far. They've completed 90 passes so far. The longest TD run for West Delaware, Jack Cantwell with an 80-yard run, and East Buchanan with 92 fumble return yards so far. So, JJ, congrats. He comes out with a 4-3 win in our first Who's Got More.
Good job, JJ.
In the last question.
Do I win a Gazette t-shirt or something?
We'll see if we can get you some swag.
All right. I appreciate that. Let's go.
All right. Well, this week coming up, where are you guys going to be? And what are some of the games that kind of stand out? I'll start first, actually, because I have a Thursday night game. We already mentioned Linmar going to Davenport Central at Brady Street on Thursday. I will have the West Side battle between Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Prairie, both coming off a loss. Both look to get a win here Thursday night at Kingston Stadium. Our area teams, Iowa Valley has Winfield Mount Union looking to go 6-0, and then Sigourney Keota with a Thursday night win or game against Loiza Muscatine. Lindy, where are you going to be, and what are a couple other games that kind of stand out to you?
I'm going to be at Albernette for the Pirates and the Bears of West Branch. Looking forward. I had not covered football up there from their new football stadium on the south side of town. I did cover once or twice from during the Carver days when they played in town. So looking forward to going up there.
When they played in the old baseball outfield.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. This is nice.
So, yeah. Looking forward to that. I've been up there for – I haven't been in their new gym yet either. So, obviously, a lot of good things going on up there as far as facilities and enrollment growth and all that up at Albernette. And looking forward to that. Games that stick out, we kind of mentioned that one. Clear Lake Indy, Wapsie Mac Valley, Northland East Buck seem to be the biggies out of town.
And I will be at Indy, so Indy and Clear Lake in the district opener, right, for both clubs, right? So
yep.
Number one against number five should be really good football game. It's homecoming up there at Indy as well. Nice facility. You guys all know that. Good people. You all know that too. So, yeah, really looking forward to that one. And just another game that trips my trigger, I guess, is Mack Valley and Wapsie in Class A. So, Mack Valley, of course, having to play without his quarterback a lot of this season has been tough. But defensively, it was really good last week against East Marshall. Held East Marshall, I think, to like 8 yards rushing or something like that. So that's just another game outside the area. And KJ, I know you got – we all have biggies this week and really nice games, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to head down to Iowa City West for that intra-city battle with West and Iowa City Liberty, 4-0 versus 3-1, number 7 versus number 8 in our rankings. I think this would be a real battle. It could be a game for about 45, 11 o'clock. maybe with the way that the teams are slinging it and putting up points. So we'll see. But really looking forward to that that game at Iowa City West. Some of the others, we mentioned a lot of them at Sioux City East, just because I'm in the same boat with JJ on East, and that's going to really kind of show some things there. Cedar Rapids Xavier, they had Kingston and play against Washington. Marion hosts Pella. So you've got number one, number two in 4A playing here in the Metro. So get out and see that one. Clear Lake, Independence really kind of stands out as well. West Branch Alburnett, Regina Durant, I think will be interesting. And then you guys already talked about Maquoketa Valley and Wapsie, obviously. And then in eight player on the state circuit, Gladbrook, Rhinebeck, and Don Bosco. They're not necessarily area teams, but area adjacent. I think that's a game in eight player, as well as Audubon and Fremont Mills, that I'm kind of looking forward to see how those things shake out as well. So, some good games on the slate here for week five. Any last comments or parting words before we head out? JJ, you think you have a feature brewing for this week?
Oh yeah, Chris Meyer at Independence. Hope to connect with him sometime tonight. Volleyball got in the way last night. They had a volleyball match. So he's having a great season, I think, as you mentioned, KJ, earlier. And I'll ask him about the rope climbing for that angle. That you'll have to wait and read about that, folks. So,
all right. Sounds good. And Lindy, as always, rankings and your capsules breaking down some of the top games of this week can be found at thegazette.com, correct?
Yep, that's right. Where the ranked teams play is posted already. The capsules for week five is, I think, will go up tomorrow morning, and I'll have the rewind Saturday morning.
And we're still looking to be hired, folks, for your high school football program, the four of us, me, Jeff, KJ, and Scott Unash. Hopefully you read four downs this week. So I think my take on whose responsibilities would be what was right on. Lindy, I said, would be our analytics guy because he's big into that kind of stuff. Unash, I got as our offensive coordinator. Pilchy is the only one of us that play football. He's going to do pretty much everything. And then I'll make sure the players are hydrated. So, i.e. water boy. So there we go.
All right. I'm just saying, I made sure to set everybody straight. I led our team in lookout blocks and missed assignments. So I think I'm relegated to the sideline get back official referee liaison, a la our friend Brad Stovey at Xavier.
That's media coordinator.
Yeah, those questions, we talked about who would be our number one fantasy draft pick if we had a high school fantasy football team. We talked about the prospects of the unbeaten teams here coming into week eight. We also had a social media submitted question from at EP Eugene on X.com asking about district play ruining conference rivalries. And then, as JJ mentioned, what our roles would be if we were on a coaching staff. So check all that out at thegazette.com, as well as all our game stories from this upcoming Friday and our features leading into week five. You can find, you can follow JJ at x.com at JEJE66, Jeff Linder at JT Linder, myself at KJ Pilcher. And again, going into week five, we just like to thank all you guys for following along and watching us each week. And make sure to tune in next week for more great stuff from Lindy, JJ, and myself.
And Pilchy, take us out, man.
Keep your head on a swivel.